Hi everyone, welcome back to The Dose Dish. The Dose Dish is the first podcast brought to you by The Dose Co., a functional beverage company on a mission to give women a healthy way to unwind. Our first product is Unwine, a zero-proof beverage that women can feel good about in the moment and great about the next day.
We're amazed by the women in our lives that seem to get shit done every day and still manage to find the time to take care of themselves. We believe that 24 hours in a day is enough, and there's always a way to carve out a moment for yourself. We're interviewing badass women in our community about their morning routines and evening rituals, getting to the core of how they get ready for and unwind from what they do best.
So our guest today is our wonderful friend from the Kellogg School of Management here at Northwestern, Lalu. So Kimmy, correct me if I'm wrong, but Lalu is kind of known as the queen of Kellogg.
Definitely. Ask anyone at Kellogg, and they will mention how Lalu did this thing amazingly in one class or led an amazing yoga class, which she is a yoga instructor in her spare time. We don't know how she has any of it, but she seems to get everything done and is just an inspiration to Suze and I, and we wanted to dig into how she does everything that she does and what her hacks are.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Awesome. So, Lalu, you are from St. Paul, Minnesota, right?
I am.
And you've always lived, like, in the Midwest. What kind of, just give our listeners just a kind of a quick background on who you are and how you got to Kellogg.
Yes. So I did grow up in the Midwest, St. Paul, and went to the University of Denver for undergrad. Really wanted to experience life outside the Midwest because I knew I would move back for later life. And I think that's really where I got into wellness and really started exercising regularly. I was never like an athlete in school. I played golf, but we didn't
That's really
weight
strenuous.
Train or do any cardio. More of a theater and like book kid growing up. So when I moved to Denver, I found a great running community, yoga community, and really got into just thinking about taking care of my body and thinking about what I was eating a little more actively. Had a brief stint on the East Coast when my husband was in business school, and then we came back to the Midwest and moved to Wisconsin. And one of the things that was really challenging for me was like the lifestyle and people's wellness and habits were really different than living in Denver or like when I visited my friends on the coasts where wellness was a lot more prevalent. So, you know, that aside, I was thinking about business school, my next step in my career, and ended up at Kellogg because I wanted to stay close to family and stay local in this region. And have really enjoyed being able to connect with people through both, you know, being active, being fit, teaching yoga, you know, getting together with women and talking about skincare, making kombucha, all these great wellness things that make
you
my
make
life.
You make it?
Well, I have assisted my friends who make it, and I actually did get a kombucha brewing kit for Christmas. So,
oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, I figured once I move and I'm settled, like, in a place I'll be for more than the next few months.
Yeah. I knew a guy in New York who made his own kombucha, and he, like, kept it in the bathtub.
Yeah.
The mother, it's like a fungus, basically. SCOBY. Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, it grows fairly rapidly once you start, and I think all my friends have said, like, you almost get too much kombucha, which I can't even imagine.
Is that possible?
I know. That's what I said. But I'll tell you. I'll let you know, like, end of the summer after
so,
the experiment.
Apparently, yeah, Lalu and I both love GT's kombucha. And I was just reading an article about him, and he still has some of the strain of SCOBY from his, like, original
batch.
And
that's
in
disgusting.
His
also a miracle of science.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Truly rooted in history.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. So we wanted to dig in and start talking about your evening rituals and how you like to unwind at the end of your day when you get home from whether it's class or work or workout class. What does that typically look like for you? What is the first thing that you do when you get home?
The first thing I do when I get home is definitely change into comfy clothes if I'm not already in them. I wear...
Allison coined sweaty peas. Yes, I don't know if you are a believer in that.
That was amazing. It feels very authentic to Allison. I'm going to try to incorporate it into my vernacular. But at school, I kind of live in yoga pants, but at work, definitely, like, I would come home and immediately put on Lululemon or, you know, whatever. I just hate being in my house and not being comfortable. Mm-hmm. I feel like, why would you walk around your house in, like, stiff work clothes? It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the first thing. I aspire to be a person who, like, washes their face immediately, too, and just gets makeup off.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
An esthetician told me once that I should be doing that.
So, as soon as you don't need it anymore,
right.
Get it off.
Yeah. Just go wash your face and, like, start the process of letting your cells revitalize for the next day.
Wow. I mean, for our listeners who haven't seen a picture of Lalu, she does have flawless skin. So
that's true.
Maybe we should be adopting that.
Too kind.
This is starting with our conversation around how your evening ritual sets you up for the next morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that really makes sense with kind of refreshing
after
your day.
Very much ties in. I mean, I truly would say my evening is driven by what's coming in the morning. Like, if I know I have an early morning, I'm, like, starting dinner right away. I want to, like, get to bed as early as possible. I don't linger when I get home. Whereas if I know I have a later morning, I might, like, sit, read, be on my phone, you know, whatever for a while.
But, okay, so, like... Yeah. So you've gotten home, like, let's go more play-by-play here. So you've gotten home, you're in your comfy clothes, makeup's off. What is that, like, first hour look like? Are you going right into dinner prep? Are you cooking things from scratch on a nightly basis or more meal prep person?
Oh, again, aspirations.
Yeah.
I would love to be a meal prep person, but I just...
My
weekends are just so sacred, right? You get 2 out of 7 days to, like, do nothing. So even before school, I found that, like, I wouldn't do meal prep on Sundays. I would almost do more of it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so often if I am making dinner, I'm making something that's fairly simple that, like, is with groceries I picked up on the way home. I hate wasting food. So I don't like to go buy a bunch of stuff and just have it. I'm, like, almost always grabbing salad ingredients and salmon or something to put on the grill as I'm coming home. And then I'll do quick prep and, like, you know, immediately throw veggies in the oven to roast and throw everything else together in the meantime. I'm, like, a huge fan of dinners that are 5 ingredients or less.
Yeah.
Everything just covered in olive oil, salt, and pepper and, like, nothing else.
Yeah.
I also know myself, and I'm not a super patient cook. I'm not good at, like, measuring out a million things and having a bunch of steps. So unless I'm entertaining, we eat, like, super simple at home.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because I think that so much of what we see when we follow these wellness bloggers on Instagram is the all-day meal prep on Sunday. And for so many of us, that just isn't a realistic goal to have because we just don't have all that time.
Yeah.
We want to be hanging out with our friends or significant others during the weekend. And like you said, that's very sacred. So I think finding, like, small hacks and recipes that you can get done in less than 30 minutes is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, those wellness bloggers and their reusable Ziploc bags and glass containers make me feel bad about myself.
Yeah. Same. I will say, though, I have tried to switch over to glass containers.
Yeah.
And, like, that beeswax reusable wrapping.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I really do.
And you, like, seal it with masking tape.
You don't even have to. It just, like, kind of forms.
Oh, I've seen that on Instagram.
Yeah, like, folds on itself. It's amazing. It actually really works. So I would highly recommend it.
Okay.
The environmentalist in me.
We'll put that in the show notes after with a link.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So... So are you, once you have dinner ready, are you sitting on the couch in front of the TV? Are you sitting with your husband? What is that time? How's that time spent?
So if John and I are together, we do really love to sit at the table and have like a real proper dinner. And I, even at Kellogg, I've been pretty good about that. When I'm on my own, I like got a dining room table super cheap on Wayfair, but just to have like a space for food. Because I noticed as I was, you know, single and post-college, like even if I made dinner and it was in front of the TV, that mindlessness mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. eating would cause me to like then be hungry again in an hour because I wasn't really paying attention, like appreciating the meal.
You didn't have a real ritual around it.
Yeah. And I think it's just nice to sort of close out the day or like have that moment where you're sitting, eating, letting that be the event for the night. And to be fair, we do eat out a good amount, but I still think like dinner was always really important to both of our families. So we both kind of connected around that. And making dinner a special thing, like I know we'll talk more about wine later, but like having a glass of wine and like, you know, just enjoying that time, that was important to us, especially like with two people with busy schedules, you know, waking up at different times, having really full days, like that's sort of where we come back together and like we're centered. That's our time.
Yeah. I think it's super important to have that kind of separation, even if it's in the smaller moments. If it's only, you know, you can only have 15 minutes and you're eating dinner by yourself, like sitting down at the table. I totally agree. I find that to be super helpful just with lots of different tasks and being present in the moment for each of them and appreciating it.
Yeah. So since you mentioned it, why don't we just dig right into your relationship with wine? We'd love to hear a little bit about how you and John like to drink wine or how you incorporate it into your healthy and balanced lifestyle or don't incorporate it at all.
Mm-hmm. I love wine.
Wine.
Surprise.
Why not?
We love wine.
So when I'm at home with John, we do love to have wine with dinner, but we got this amazing tool. Do you guys know about the Coravin?
I've seen it in Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay, yes.
I don't know what it is. What is it?
Definitely put it on your wedding registry. It is this device that uses a CO2 cartridge to inject a needle into a wine cork.
Oh,
and it goes into the bottle, and then you can have a single serving of wine. And it's great because then you don't feel the pressure to finish the bottle before it goes bad. I come from a very frugal household, so like for me, the idea of throwing out wine is just atrocious.
To finish it once you open it.
Exactly. Like you spent money on it. So I love this Coravin because it does really help make it easier to have that one glass and not, you know, have to think about what happens to the rest.
Yeah. That's agreed. I think Kimmy and I have been trying to figure out hacks of how to actually have one glass of wine. So I think between the Coravin and the alternating water trick, we should have a few more strategies in our back pocket.
Definitely. And unwind for those nights that you just don't want to drink wine at all. But like Lalu said, have something in your hand because it just is such a part of the social culture to relax and unwind with friends over a beverage.
Yeah. And I think you make a really good point also about kind of the social pressure around drinking wine and around literally holding it in your hand. When Kimmy and I were thinking about what are our alternatives to drinking wine, particularly when we do get together with girlfriends, the options are pretty boring. You know, we can drink just water, you can have a LaCroix, you can not go, which in our experience, we tend to want to do because it's harder to explain yourself in a group of friends than it is to just stay home sometimes. And I think that's also kind of why this flakiness in our culture has also started to emerge, because people do want to drink less. We were just reading, we've been reading a ton about this topic, and there is a sober curious movement. There are bars opening in Brooklyn and LA that are totally offering booze-free cocktails. And lots of companies are coming out with low-alcohol alternatives. So
I'm so intrigued by that. But also what I really love about the CBD-based drink, the Unwind in particular, is that you guys were thoughtful about low sugar. Because another thing about cocktails, like if they're based in juice, there's so much sugar, even if it's natural sugar, you know, especially at the end of the day. Like, I love kombucha, but I don't necessarily want all the sugar that's in it. I don't want the caffeine that comes from the tea. So having something that's low sugar, no caffeine, no alcohol is impossible to find except for sparkling water.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And CBD, you know, the benefits about relaxation, like replacing that in wine is so key. Because honestly, sometimes I just drink a glass of wine because I need to mellow out for the night, exactly. Whether that's self-medicating or not, you know, let the audience decide. But it does feel great at the end of a stressful day to just have a glass of wine and like take a deep breath and just chill.
100%. And we completely agree with that and wanted to craft Unwind to give you that same experience without the negative side effects of being hungover or having that extra sugar or everything else that you tend to associate with alcohol.
Yeah, I think just to give you some more context, like Kimmy and I have been talking a lot about wine as we develop our first product. It's called Unwine, and it is a zero-proof botanical beverage that really it's infused with hemp CBD, and we found that we experience a lot of the same benefits that we get from wine with our new beverage. So you'll be able to pre-order online. We'll put it in the show notes. But I think to circle back, we've been talking a lot about the concept of a single glass of wine. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, one glass of wine a night is so great for you from a health perspective. It's great for your heart. It's a great way to socialize. And Kimmy and I saw the other day this awesome post from Betches, and it said, my most toxic trait is that I can only have one glass of wine or the entire bottle, and there's nothing in between. So from what you were talking about, you know, it seems like you and John are very, you know, you love wine, and you have really like designed an efficient way to consume it with, what is it called again? The Korvin. The Korvin, yes. So figuring out how to, you know, you've controlled for your one glass of wine, but how do you navigate those waters in a more social situation, particularly with girlfriends?
So first of all, I totally resonate with like the challenge of just having one glass of wine. And even as a host, I always feel like, you know, I should be pouring more and more wine to be seen as generous and, you know, to make sure everyone's having a good time and staying socially lubricated. but as a guest or even just at home, like I know that, you know, I'm over 30, so more than one glass of wine does take a toll. So my trick is I will drink my first glass and then I will move my cup and like just fill it with water, like rinse it out and drink water straight out of the same wine glass. And that way I can't add any more wine, you know, at least temporarily. It gives me a pause.
At least gives you like a 23 minute interval between your first and second glass.
Exactly. Which makes all the difference. But it does, you know, at least continue to hydrate me. And I think so much in a social situation is about like having something in your hand, at least like for me, I feel like that makes me less anxious, or just keeps my hands busy. It also keeps me from like snacking or, you know, whatever else. So I'm just holding on to something. So that is my big life hack. In terms
That's
of
an awesome tip.
Limiting. Yeah.
Love that.
Great. So, you know, seems like we're at the point where you're pretty relaxed after dinner, after your wine, you know, your moment at the table. So what is, like, looking forward closer to bedtime? Well, one, do you have a bedtime? Does it change from day to day?
I'm pretty rigid about my workouts in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I generally try to go to bed between 7 and 8 hours before I need to wake up to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to stick to a time, which right now is like somewhere between 10:30 and 11. You know, when we go back to the real world and have to go to work, it'll probably be like between 9:30 and 10.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited. I know, I can't wait. I've always been a morning person, so I am exhausted by like 8:30. It's just a matter of, can I get the things done that I need to by like 9:30 or 10?
Right. So those 30, so it's 8:30. So assuming, let's just assume you're going to go to bed at 9.
Perfect.
What do those 30 minutes before bed look like, kind of step by step?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I haven't already washed my face, like the second I walked in the door, I will do that. I mentioned to you guys I was listening to Allison's podcast, and we do so many similar things. I also double cleanse, huge fan.
Ooh. Okay.
I've been trying to use mostly plant-based skincare products, so I love this brand, Elika, and they have, like, this lemon milk cleanser that's more for getting makeup
tasty.
Off. It, like, smells good, but I got it in my mouth once, and I don't recommend. And then this refreshing mint exfoliating wash, so couple steps there, then I do...
Are those the same, by the same brand?
Yeah, they're both Elika.
Okay.
And then I do a toner, the Pixie toner, what's it called? Pixie Glow Tonic.
Sounds
fancy.
Lovely.
Yeah, it, like, you know, just a gentle exfoliator, but you can get that at Target, super cheap, which is amazing. And then I do a hyaluronic acid serum. It's The Ordinary by The Abnormal Skincare Company. It's a little bit thicker, and I like to put that on at night because it just feels like a nice sort of tonic
mask.
Serum
yeah.
mask. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's lovely.
I just started using one, and I actually feel like it's made a big difference.
Such a difference, yeah. I like, my skin is fairly dry. For those of you who can't see me, my dad is from Ethiopia, so I'm half Ethiopian, and African-American skin and hair tends to be like drier at times.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely noticed such a big difference when I started using hyaluronic acid. And truly, like, for the winter in the Midwest, I can't believe I went so long without it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's incredible.
It's windy AF here.
Always.
Even today. It's over 70 degrees.
Middle of May.
Yeah. You still feel like you need like a whole
face shield.
Protected.
You need like
yes.
a warrior shield.
Ugh.
Sarah, Game of Thrones reference to be made because I don't watch it.
Yeah, perhaps we're out of the loop on that one.
None of us know.
So,
but yeah, then
okay.
moisturize with a night moisturizer. Also, Elika. It's a grape stem cell moisturizer that I feel like helps that cell turnover, as I mentioned. One of my many obsessions.
Awesome.
Cool.
So are you, and then when you get into bed, like, I'm super guilty of looking at my phone until I've, like, exhausted my eyeballs. So do you have, like, a no phone policy, like, when it comes to bedtime, or how do you kind of view those final moments of the day?
I really try not, especially social media, I try not to check it before bed, because I just think, you know, the end of the day is the time when I want the lowest amount of anxiety, and going on social media and seeing what people are doing or what's going on in the world that can trigger me at
yeah.
any moment, I just have to, like, cut myself off at a certain point. So I actually have gotten into this routine where I'll turn on a podcast, like something that's low complexity, like
mm-hmm.
generally kind of low intellectual value, but something interesting. I love personal human stories. So
mm-hmm.
I listen to Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC. Those are usually like 20 to 30 minutes. I've gotten really into Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert,
where
he interviews a lot of famous people. And so I listen to that because they're usually just interesting stories about their lives. You know, something like that where I can...
Dax Shepard the one that's married to Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, he's hilarious.
He's super funny, but the podcast is great. I highly recommend it. And I think there's been like almost a year and a half of episodes, and they do one every week. And so I love those. Just something that I can listen to, focus on, like reorient my mind away from my own stuff. Because the worst sleep I get is when I'm anxious about something or thinking about something. And so I have to like just turn my brain off. Mm-hmm. I can't even turn it off. I have to refocus it more than anything.
Right. Yeah.
And honestly, I will like listen to a podcast as I fall asleep too. So I get in bed, you know, set my alarm on my phone, turn it on, do not disturb, and then turn my podcast sleep timer on.
And,
yeah.
I didn't know you could do
that. Smart. Oh my gosh. It is a game changer.
Wow.
The other one I love is a podcast called Modern Love from WNYC. Yeah. And so that podcast.
Is that the one where they read the New York Times Modern Love articles?
Yes.
Yeah. So great.
Well, the way it's structured is the first 10 minutes is usually reading the essay, and the second 10 minutes is usually an interview with the author. And if I turn that on, I never make it to the interview with the author. Like, less than 10 minutes, I'm out.
Wow. Podcast timer. Yeah. Did not know about that. It's a great hack.
Yeah.
So great.
That's so great. I know that I personally am guilty of sometimes watching TV before bed instead of podcasts.
Is it in your room?
No, okay. I don't. And I watch it on my computer sometimes, which is bad.
You bad.
I know. And I always find, actually, that when I do watch TV before I go to bed, I wake up like feeling a little foggier, and it must be because of either the screen or just some of the blue light.
The blue light.
I think the podcast hack is something that I will definitely use because, agreed, I need to refocus to get my mind off of things for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Awesome. Okay, so you're going to bed 7 to 8 hours before the workout.
Yeah.
Before you need to get up for the workout.
Right, right.
So, yeah, walk us through, like, how you, you know, once your alarm goes off, kind of how you, what do you do next?
I mentioned I'm a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
So unless I, like, don't get enough sleep or there's too much wine from the night before, I'm usually, like, awake, jump out of bed.
No snooze.
As we learned from Allison.
#no snooze.
Yes.
Snoozers are to be shamed.
Snoozers are losers.
This is another issue with my relationship. So John snoozes for an hour.
Oh. Wow.
And
he like builds that into his schedule.
It's insane to me. Like, that's a full hour you could just be sleeping.
Right.
And then get up. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But we are very different people. Like, I feel very lucky that my circadian rhythm is like, it's 6:30, go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly think it makes the whole day easier, like, especially the day where I'm supposed to be productive. I'm alarm, hop out of bed, you know, maybe roll. Maybe I'm not hopping.
It's not a hop.
Yeah, let's be
real. It's not a hard hop.
get up, you know, brush my teeth. And then I do try to do a workout in the morning. So I love F45, Allison also goes there. Like, we're actually the same person. No new content. But yeah, like, weightlifting. I love to do yoga in the morning if I can fit it in. I like to go to a studio. But yeah, group fitness, something, especially in the morning, it takes me, I need like a little extra push to work hard. So I found that if I try to do my own workout, usually in the morning, it's pretty half-assed versus like if I go to a class, I know I'm there. Yeah, I paid for it. I'm going to make the most of it and just work out hard and then be done for the day. So,
So we, for our listeners that don't know, you teach YBL, Yoga by Lalu. Can you tell us more about kind of how you got into yoga and how you decided you wanted to become a teacher?
Yeah, definitely. So I've referenced my anxiety a few times. This is all like completely undiagnosed. I would say like my family's relationship with mental health is a little wishy-washy, but like it was never really brought to me to think about my anxiety as something to be concerned about when I was growing up. And even in college, like I would get these like panic attacks where my heart would race when I was realizing like I had a lot to do or had a test coming up or something like that. And in college, it got to the point where I was noticing it a lot and had all these friends who were doing yoga and constantly talked about how relaxed they felt afterwards. So I started in Denver going to Core Power fairly regularly, and I hated it, like hated yoga. I was like, you know, I don't understand how these people are moving this, their bodies in this way. I don't know what these Sanskrit words mean. Like everyone seems to get it and I don't.
Yeah.
But I just, I forced
the first yoga I tried was Bikram.
Oh God.
And I remember my mom was really into it and I chose to go on Black Friday. So the morning after eating a Thanksgiving dinner and I, you know.
Did you pass out? it's so hot.
No, I ran out of the room and threw up in the trash can. Oh so I was going to save that for our listeners, but it's a wild ride with yoga. You really, it's tough to figure out which type is right for you.
Totally. And I didn't really understand the nuances. So like, the first time I went, we were doing a lot of standing stuff and my knees were locked out. And all of a sudden, like, I thought I was going to pass out. I, like, also ran out of the room and, like, collapsed on the floor. I was like, why do people do this? You know, but I think it taught me, the reason I kept going back was those last couple minutes at the end in Shavasana when I was just laying. I was like, okay, this is, I feel amazing. Like, if I can power through the first 58 minutes and get those last 2 minutes at the end, it felt worth it, and it taught me a lot about breathing, which has really come back to be super helpful for me in life later, just remembering that, like, if I stop, if I start focusing on my breath, centering myself through breath, I can manage through whatever anxiety I'm feeling. So that's how I came to the practice, and then just really got into it, made friends at the yoga studio in Boston when we moved out there, and honestly just wanted to make friends. So I thought, like, why don't I do teacher training and just see? And ended up really liking it, enjoyed teaching. It felt, like, fairly natural because I love to talk and love to be in front of people. And just, like, continuously.
That is, like, not something that everyone likes. So power to you.
It's an only child issue.
I did not know you were an only child.
Oh, now you're going to start noticing all my only child tendencies.
I will.
But yeah, I really loved it and felt like I was always meeting people, getting connected to people. So have continued through my time at Kellogg, and you know, we'll hopefully start teaching when I move after school. So it's become a really integral part of my life, and I really loved sharing it with people.
And it's sold out, like, every week. I'm always on the wait list. I can never get into your class.
To be fair, it is a free class.
They don't have to know that out there in radio world.
Someday I'll be paid again. I'm paid in love and hugs from my dear friends who come.
I love it.
Yeah. So after you get back from your workout, if you did that first thing, what does your typical at-home routine look like? Are you making breakfast for yourself? Are you reading the news? Can you walk us through what that little bit of time is at home before you set off for your day?
Yeah. So my second obsession after cell rejuvenation is getting enough protein because I eat mostly plant-based. So I have this.
Are you a vegetarian or just a plantitarian?
I say
you might. You did.
Okay. Whatever.
I do say that I'm vegetarian, but I also eat fish and shellfish, like mostly
pescatarian.
But I feel like vegetarian is like a cooler title, so I still try to own that.
Okay.
And people call me out. But I use Vega protein powder, which is pea protein, P-E-A protein, just to clarify. Probably didn't need to clarify that. And it has, there's a Vega protein powder plus energy that has matcha green tea in it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I love that. So I mix that with almond milk, and I'll usually drink that like right after I come back from the workout. And then I'm a total...
So it's like a pea protein milkshake?
Mm-hmm, totally. It's okay. Like matcha latte flavor.
Ooh,
yeah, it's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
Almond milk really gives it like a great sort of creamy texture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a total creature of habit. So for the last like 7 years, I've been eating 2 eggs with like sauteed kale for breakfast. The only change is I recently discovered Trader Joe's makes an everything bagel seasoning.
Oh,
oh
my god.
Yeah. Susan and I carry it around in our backpacks.
I carry the whole bottle in my backpack.
Sometimes. How did I not know about this? It's
I know.
So good.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Kimmy actually stole it from me the other day, and I like thought about it immediately. I was like, how will I survive until tomorrow?
Even though I have my own at home. I needed to take Sue's for our to-go hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So are you doing hard-boiled, over easy?
Kind of like over medium.
Over medium.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll like put olive oil in the pan and then do like a crispy fried
mm-hmm.
egg sometimes.
Those like lacy edges.
Mm, mm-hmm. So good.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. Changes the whole morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, eggs, kale, protein, milkshake. And then I get ready. And my morning routine is usually pretty quick. I like don't linger too much in the shower. I have like 10 face products. I can go into it if you want, but
yeah, you should.
Okay. okay. So let me preface this by saying it is a fairly quick routine, but there are many layers.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm recently obsessed with Drunk Elephant
mm-hmm.
skincare products.
Yeah.
So I use the vitamin C serum and the hyaluronic acid day serum. This is my day hyaluronic acid.
Mm-hmm.
I have my night.
Different
my
from
day.
The night one.
Yeah, not to be confused. I've used some toner before then, but sometimes I forget. And then I use like a day moisturizer that I found that's also plant-based, and it's from Juice Beauty,
mm-hmm.
and it has SPF 30. So like obsession number 3, sunscreen.
Yeah.
I constantly am trying to find products with sunscreen in it so I don't have to, like, actively put sunscreen on.
I think I use that one, too.
Do
the
you?
The Stem Cell, like, silver tube tinted moisturizer.
It's not tinted, but that sounds great, and we should talk about that after.
Juice Booty. Juice Booty.
Juice Booty.
Juice Booty. Juice Booty. To be edited.
No. to be kept.
Anyway, I was just going to say that it's Gwyneth Paltrow's skincare line.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh, I feel so much better about it now. Because I would trust Gwyneth.
Yes.
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, moisturize. And then makeup routine is, like, fairly simple. I use the same 5 products I always have. I love NARS because a lot of their powders and bronzers and everything have SPF in them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great primer called Radiance Primer that also has SPF. So whip that all on, little mascara. And usually, like, I leave the house with my hair soaking wet. During all of that, I like to have the news on in the background. I listen to so much NPR. So that's kind of where I get my update on the day, what's going on in the world outside. And I think that's pretty much it. Then I jump in the car or jump outside and
jump on your feet.
Yeah.
hopping and jumping on
yeah, roll, you roll out onto the street.
Yeah. Love. Just bouncing around.
Just hopping and rolling around.
Amazing.
Well, Lalu, thank you so much for coming on our second episode of The Dose Dish. We
thank
loved
you.
Having you. We are going to end the show with our 3 questions that we are going to ask all of our guests, past and future. So the first one is, if you had to give up wine tomorrow, what would you replace it with?
Mm. If I had to give up wine tomorrow, I think I would replace it with my own personal sparkling water flavor. I want LaCroix to do a lemon plus lime.
No.
I really think they're missing that flavor profile.
Okay, like a Sprite.
Yeah. Yes,
maybe
like,
not.
The like delicious, refreshing, quenching nature of Sprite.
Mm-hmm.
Without the sugar.
Yeah.
So what are the top 3 self-care products or practices that you can't live without? I know that we talked about a lot of them.
Yes.
So if you had to boil it down to 3, what would they be?
Yeah, the 3 that you would take to a desert island.
Mm. number 1, sunscreen, all the sunscreen, all the time. Number two, just being able to practice mindful breathing, whether that comes from a yoga or a meditation practice, or just sitting for 30 seconds and using, you know, a timer to breathe deeply. I think that really helps me manage my day. And the third is getting enough sleep. It changes my life if I'm consistently sleeping 7+ hours a night. And that is the most important thing, I think. If there's one takeaway for, like, how to make your life great.
Preach.
Just sleep enough.
Love that.
Yeah. Awesome. And so the third and final question is, who is a female leader that inspires you?
Okay. I really thought about this for a while, and I feel like this answer is so cliche, but truly, I love Michelle Obama so much.
Yeah.
I think about her all the time. I love her Instagram. I recently read her book, and I just think, you know, she's such a great leader because she's been willing to admit she's made sacrifices for her family. Mm-hmm. She, you know, has always pursued her dreams, but, like, has made various choices that have taken her in a path that's not direct. And I think as women, it's so important to see female role models who might not be exclusively in the C-suite or running mm-hmm. things that, or don't have titles that are perceived to be, like, the aspiration, but who are still doing amazing things and leading bravely and have confidence and have style and have a sense of self, and can do that while also admitting that they have flaws. And she is just that woman for me. So I always hold her up above everyone. Yeah. I love her.
Wow.
She's That's amazing. Great. Full disclosure, I have not finished her book because it's really long.
It is long. It is long.
Becoming by Michelle Obama.
Yeah, if you don't know.
Awesome. Well, right. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
This is a blast. Thank you.